Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You're walking along the street, or you're at a party, or else you're alone, and then you suddenly dig. You're looking in someone's eyes, and you suddenly realize this could be the start of something big.
All right, here we go with another Danny O'Day's Louisville Arts and Entertainment on the Fringe. And we always try to bring in people that are on the fringe of arts and entertainment. And we certainly have one today by the name of Mr. Ron Whitehead, poet extraordinaire, and he's done just about everything here in Louisville and throughout the world. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Danny. The Bone Man dances circles round the subterranean gloom, paints pink and blue and purple until he fills the room with the smell of roses and a pandemonium moon. Yeah, baby, it's morning. Come on. Let's get something started. Let's create some trouble.
That's what we're going to do, and you're very good at it. You've been doing this how long now?
I've been living and being my dream for 25 years. Had over 100 jobs in my life. I started working when I was 5 years old, selling Christmas cards and Grit magazine door to door in a little community center town, population 323, a mile and a half away from the farm in western Kentucky where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. And you've been in and around Louisville for quite some time.
I've lived all over many places around the world, but Kentucky, wherever I go, I preach the Kentucky gospel. I love Kentucky. I'm proud to be a hillbilly, and I consider myself to be a Viking hillbilly outlaw poet. That's pretty much sums up what I am. I'm a farm boy, but I'm happy to home base here in Louisville, particularly in the Highlands. And I've been back here for... three years, maybe four now. I had a great apartment on Cherokee Road for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Ended up going to Nicaragua and New York and Oakland and some other places for a while. And then my dad died 4 years ago, and I came back to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the key things that people I bring in here on this show are they are excited about what is happening in Louisville as far as the arts are concerned. And you've been on top of that for quite a while.
Yes, I have. I started out, I've taught college and university at University of Louisville, Bellarmine, Spalding, St. Catherine, and I've lectured and given talks and presented scholarly papers and writing workshops at universities around the world. But 1992, almost 22 years ago, Ken Fielding and I started, when I was teaching at the University of Louisville, started the Global Literary Renaissance. And from 92 to 96, the streets of Louisville were on fire. We were producing three or four music and poetry arts events each week, sometimes more, and publishing three or four new titles each month. For 20 years, I taught two full-time jobs at different colleges and universities without letting each know that I was doing that. I taught Tuesdays and Thursdays at one college and Mondays and Wednesdays at another university, and I slept 2 hours a night for 20 years. I drank 15 to 20 cups of coffee a day, and I took 12 to 14 Excedrin a day because it had caffeine in it. I finally had to switch to Tylenol because the aspirin was getting to my stomach. But I was living it for the first time in my life. I'm 25 years ago. I decided, okay, I'm not gonna work jobs that I hate anymore just for the money to put food on the table. I knew what my dream was, and I've got the strongest willpower you'll ever find, and I took one step at a time. I built a bridge from where I was to where I wanted to be. I encourage anybody who has the desire, the yearning, the inkling of a desire to do what they love to do this, to build the bridge to their dream and live it. If I can do it, anybody can. I've been doing it for 25 years, and there's nothing like it. There's no such thing as work anymore. I was a workaholic. Now I'm just a passionaholic. Mm-hmm. I live and breathe my dream around the clock, around the world. Mm-hmm. And poetry, I've been blessed. Poetry has taken this country, wilderness, pioneer land, Kentucky boy, all over the world. I have thousands of friends.
Now, you've brought a lot of famous people to Louisville.
I have. Started out an international poetry series at the University of Louisville. First two poets I brought in were Diane DePrima, The Woman of the Beat Generation, Memoirs of a Beatnik, many other books, the author of many books. She's still hanging in there out in San Francisco. I did a lot of work with Diane over the years. And I brought in Lucian Strike, who passed away recently. An incredible translator of Chinese and Japanese poetry, and an incredible poet himself. Mm. And that was in April of 1992. In October, I brought in Allen Ginsberg, and that changed everything. 1,500 people came to the University of Louisville, largest poetry reading in Kentucky history. Ginsberg was here for a week. The night after he left, he flew to give a talk and a reading at the Lowell Celebrates Kerouac Annual Festival in Lowell, Massachusetts, where Kerouac moved to and lived. His family moved from Canada, Quebec, when he was 6 years old. His English was his second language. Mm-hmm. And so Ginsberg at that festival, Lowell Celebrates Kerouac, told the audience, because I got reports from several people, if you don't know who Ron Whitehead is, you better find out. And then he told him about what was going on in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And so word of mouth is still to this day the best form of advertising on the mm-hmm. planet. And wherever Ginsberg went, he talked about me, and others did too. Diane and Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Getty, who I brought in April of 93, the Dalai Lama, who I worked to get to Louisville, he finally came in 94. I wrote a poem with him, Never Give Up, changed my life forever. Ginsberg, he did a tour of Ireland not long before he died. He died in April of 97. And Bono, the lead singer for U2, opened up for Ginsberg on that tour. And Bono loved the Beats. And so 2 weeks, and Ginsberg told Bono all about me. So 2 weeks after Ginsberg got back from that tour, I got a letter with a check for $150 from Bono requesting to purchase some of the Published in Heaven titles I was publishing. Mm-hmm. That opened the door for me. He was one of the people I had on. I published, edited, and published over 2,000 titles, and Bono was one of the people I had on my list of folks I would like to publish and include mm-hmm. in that series. So that opened that door for me, and I told him that I'd like to include him. He sent me a poem, American David, American David. It was an incredible poem about Elvis Presley. Mm-hmm. I was the first person to publish that. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to edit Bono's poem. Mm-hmm. It needed a little editing. So that was funny to me. Mm-hmm. I'm editing Bono. It was what? Yeah. It was kind of crazy. But he's a real nice guy.
So that brings us the present.
Yes.
And you were the topic of an article in the Courier-Journal just last, or you were part of this article in the Courier-Journal just last week about your efforts for a Hunter Thompson mural to be displayed, the great writer and gonzo journalist, Hunter Thompson, a mural of Mr. Thompson to be displayed in Louisville, Kentucky. Is it true?
That's true, Danny. Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, I've been working for years. Hunter's a friend of mine and has some incredible experiences with Hunter. And December the 12th, 1996, I produced the official Hunter S. Thompson tribute at Memorial Auditorium on 4th Street, Why there? Because Hunter wanted it there. Why did I put him up at the Brown Hotel? Because Hunter wanted to be put up at the Brown Hotel. Because when Hunter was growing up on Ransdell Avenue in the Highlands, just across the way from Cherokee Park, and Hunter loved Louisville, he had a love-hate relationship with Louisville, especially because of the way he was run out of town, given the choice of going to jail or joining the armed forces. He joined the Air Force. Well, it took me months to get Hunter, to convince Hunter to come back to Louisville for this tribute. After 4, 5, 6 a.m. in the morning conversations with Hunter and Johnny Depp, is during the time when Johnny was staying with Hunter, studying him for the movie based on Hunter's book, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Just a brilliant, a classic for all time, the book. Hunter's now included, three of his books are included in the classics, Random House Classics, next shoulder to shoulder with the greatest writers of all time. And I try to convince students and people, young people of all ages around the world, to pay attention to Hunter's work, his works. Yes, his lifestyle is fascinating, and most of those stories are true, but just like Mozart, whose work has stood the test of time, we don't pay attention so much to his lifestyle. Well, through the movie Amadeus, we got a glimpse into his lifestyle. And if you read his biographies, he was a wild man too. So just like Mozart, Hunter's works have and will stand the test of time. So I have Dublin, just not long ago, put a statue of James Joyce up downtown Dublin. There are still people in Dublin who don't like James Joyce. Hunter's got the same problem in Louisville, Kentucky. And so on February 21st, 2005, the day after Hunter crossed over, chose to take his own life, I wrote Dr. Hunter Shaman Thompson is Dead, a tribute. And I also wrote Ways for Louisville to Honor Its Native Son, Hunter S. Thompson. And I've been working on those ways. They started out with 12, now it's 14. On those ways, trying to convince people in government, in business, individuals who have the ways and the means to make these 12, 14 ways come to pass, to help me out in my efforts. Finally, my friend Denny Humphrey, the owner of the Monkey Wrench, called me one day and said, "Ron, I want to do a gonzo festival at the Monkey Wrench, but I'm not going to do it unless you agree to it and come on board and help me produce it." So, I was excited, elated that Denny wanted to do that, and we produced it. I brought in Hunter's widow, Anita Thompson, who's a friend of mine. John Yarmuth spoke, brought in my friend, New York Mets poet laureate Frank Messina. And Messina and other, and check out Boardwalk Empire, he's in that, and other people. It was an incredible event, and the other gonzo festivals have been incredible. Well, about a month ago, I ran into, at the New Lou Festival, down on East Market, my friend Gil Scott Holland has turned East Market in Louisville into a happening place. And I understand Gil was on your program a week ago. He's an awesome guy. He's a big Hunter fan. He's also a big fan of Scandinavian literature, which I am. His mom's Norwegian. I believe his dad's a professor of Scandinavian literature at the University of North Carolina, or was. And so Gil is on board with this effort. I ran into Jake Mahaffey, this young activist outlaw poet here in Louisville, and he said, Ron, you've got to meet my friend Mike Maloney. He's got this place down the street, and I was at the New Lou Festival with a friend, and we were trying to look at all the booths and everything that was going on. I said, "Look, not today, but I'd like to meet Mike and hang out with you all." And so within a week, I get a call from Jake Mahaffey, and Jake and Mike Maloney, who is the mayor's manager of special events for the city of Louisville, and Denny Humphrey, the owner of the Monkey Wrench, and I met at Against the Grain, the Louisville Slugger baseball field on Main Street, and we formed the group, the Giant Hunter S. Thompson Banner Group, And we moved quickly on this. We just met at the Monkey Wrench this past Friday. Three new members in the group. Not going to mention their names at this point, but they're main movers and shakers on the Louisville scene, people who get things done and who can and do get things done. And so there are seven of us now, the Magnificent Seven, I call us, and we've got Gil Scott Holland has come on board to provide some of the financing for the Giant Banner Project. We've got a location selected on Main Street near the Yum Center, and we're working out some insurance-related technical details. As soon as those are taken care of, we'll make the official announcement as to where the banner, the Giant Hunter S. Thompson banner, is going to be located. And Ralph Steadman, one of the most famous artists on the planet from London, England, who did the work for most of Hunter's books, he's done some work for a couple other projects I've been involved in. Ralph has, and I just happened to be the track announcer. There's a new a documentary on Ralph Steadman hosted by Johnny Depp. It's called For No Good Reason. World premiere at the London International Film Festival. Sony Pictures bought the North American rights. They're going to release it into the United States, including a Louisville premiere, hopefully in December. I'm waiting. They said I'll be the first person to know because it's going to be a big deal here in Louisville. Ralph wants to come in. Some other special guests, as yet unannounced, will be showing up for that, as they will for the unveiling of the Giant Hunter banner. So I've been working with Ralph. Ralph Steadman, we've got this hometown hero series of these giant banners, Muhammad Ali, Pee Wee Reese, Pee Wee's son, Mark Reese, is a good friend of ours, Danny's in mine, and it's a Hollywood filmmaker now. And so we got all these black and white photo banners up downtown, which I love. I love all those. Why wasn't Hunter included? Believe me, I've been on this since these banners started showing up. This was one of my 12 suggestions for the city of Louisville. Well, because of Hunter's lifestyle, there a couple of people who loved Hunter's work were concerned about the possible reflection on the city with Hunter being included in that series. But I have to say this, the city of Louisville, the Hometown Heroes banner series, all those people are supporting our project. And Hometown Heroes said they totally support the Hunter banner downtown, and they know that Hunter would like for this to be outside the lines. So what the vision I had then was to get Ralph Steadman to contribute a portrait of Hunter, so we don't have the black and white photo of Hunter. We have a Ralph Steadman art portrait of Hunter. He sent me 20 images. The four members of the Hunter banner team looked at all those images. I shared them with the other three members, and we selected the one that we all agreed would be palatable to a general audience, to the general public. The others were just too controversial, and we didn't want to create controversy around this banner. Our primary goal is for people to honor native son Hunter S. Thompson, and for the primary focus to be on his literary legacy, which will stand the test of time. I just completed a long interview. We've done interviews for Inside of Louisville, for the Courier Journal, for other publications, including there are going to be some interviews from The Atlantic, from Time Magazine. People around the world are interested in this. Muhammad Ali, Johnny Depp, and Hunter S. Thompson are the three most popular Kentuckians on the planet. Wherever I go in my travels, everybody wants to hear stories about Hunter S. Thompson. They can't, you know, you're a friend of Hunter's? You're a friend of Hunter's? Tell me some stories. And so I lived in Iceland for a couple of years, and while I was there, they did a front page article about Hunter with photos in Old Norse, in Icelandic, which I, you know, it's an interview that I did, and it was published in their native tongue, in Morgenblatt, which is their New York Times. So in this last interview I did, I was asked, a really good question about, you know, why do I think Hunter's work will stand the test of time? And my response was, you know, I could write a book about that. And so I went, this is what I said. Music and poetry are the language of angels, a gift to us humans, a universal language. The house of prose must be inhabited by music and poetry in order for it to withstand the winds of time. Hunter's prose combines folk wisdom, music, poetry, and pure mathematics. Just when rock and roll was dying, along came punk music. The Sex Pistols and the Clash rebirthed rock. They made it new again. Just as Mozart's music, not his lifestyle, has stood the test of time, so will Hunter's writing, not his lifestyle, stand the test of time. Hunter gave literature new life. He made it new again. Hunter's writing will prove its worth. His books are already included in the classics. Hunter S. Thompson's works are already published in heaven. So that's my feeling on the subject of Hunter S. Thompson, and the time has come at long last, after years and years of me working on this and other projects, for him to finally be recognized and honored in his hometown. And you better believe I am relieved by this, that I have a team to work with now, mm-hmm. and that we're all making it happen.
When is this unveiling going to be?
Saturday, April the 5th, Gonzo Fest 2014, the unveiling of the giant Hunter S. Thompson, Ralph Steadman Art Portrait Banner will be unveiled downtown Louisville, and there's going to be an all-day happening. All kinds of things will be going on. People will be coming in from around the world. That evening, at a main Louisville venue, we're talking with Louisville Palace right now, we're going to bring in some of the biggest local, national, and international rock bands. So there'll be rock bands and speakers during the day and during the evening. And we're going to start out, the focus is going to be on local. Hunter S. Thompson's from Louisville. Johnny Depp's a Kentuckian. The first words I was asked in this interview, the same interview, you know, how does Johnny Depp, you know, he and Hunter were friends. They worked together. Johnny loves Hunter to this day. You know, what was Johnny Depp's feelings about Louisville and about Kentucky? They ask about Hunter's feelings, which I talked about some. And my response was, I can say so much about that, but when I picked Johnny up at the Louisville airport for the Hunter tribute, his first words were, damn, it feels good to be home. That's exactly how Johnny Depp feels about Kentucky. And so, of course, we're inviting, I just sent an invite to Ralph Steadman to come and be part of those that celebration, that happening April the 5th. That's just before Thunder over Louisville and the Derby. It's perfect time. We held the last Gonzo Fest at the Monkey Ranch at a similar time. It's a downtime before all that, right. The big stuff starts. So we're going to add on to that big stuff that's right. happening. And of course we're going to invite Johnny, and I know already that will depend on his film schedule.
Right. I want to thank you, Ron Whitehead, for joining me today on Louisville Arts and Entertainment on the Fringe. And
thank you, Danny.
Boy, you were right on the fringe, let's say. And
I live off the edge, actually.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.